Lord, the last legacy that Jesus left is he said, my peace I give unto you. My peace I leave with you. Not as the world give, so give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Heard the story about a rich farmer who had thoroughbred horses and full-blood cattle, and he needed a hired hand to work on his ranch. Ran an ad in the paper that what kind of man that he needed. Said you can pick up an application at the local feed store, fill it out, send it in to me, and on a certain day I'm going to hire a hired hand to take care of my thoroughbred horses and my high-blooded cattle. Well, he got several applications and several resumes, but when he come to this one, it kind of confused him. Had name, and this fella put his name down. Said, experience? He said, I can sleep in the storm. References? I can sleep in the storm. Went on down. What benefits do you expect to receive if you're hired from this job? I expect to be able to sleep in the storm. This confused this man. Never seen anybody fill out a resume, an application like that. I can sleep in the storm. On every line, I can sleep in the storm. So he decided, I'll call this fella in and see what kind of a man this guy is that fill out an application like this. So he calls him in and finds the man is very intelligible, very knowledgeable about horses and cattle. Finally decides, I'll just hire this guy. And he told him, he said, along with this job goes this bunkhouse down here. You'll be able to live there. We'll furnish you groceries along with your salary. So he hired this man and put him to work. And he proved to be very faithful and very knowledgeable of horses and cattle. And everything was going good for about 3 months. One night, the farmer woke up about 2 o'clock in the morning. He looked out the window and he heard the lightning, or saw the lightning and heard the thunder. Water was coming down, rain just in sheets. Big storm. And I don't know if you know anything about high-blooded horses or not, but sometimes they'll go crazy in a storm. So he got to worrying about his thoroughbred horses and his full-blooded cattle. He looked down toward the bunkhouse. No lights. He said, I don't understand this. Don't even look like my hired hand's up. So he pulls on his own rain boots and his own rain gear. He braves the storm, goes out in the lightning and the heavy rain, the thunderings, and when he gets to the stalls where his horses are, every one of them is tied down in the stalls. He goes over to the corral where his full-blooded cattle are. Every one of them is safe in the corral, tied down. So he said, well, everything's all right here. He goes back by the bunkhouse, shines the light on the door of the bunkhouse, and there was a sign, please do not disturb. I took care of everything before the storm got here. Now I can sleep in the storm. So if you'll take care of everything before the storm gets here, you'll be able to sleep in the storm. There's a storm on its way. You better make sure you've got everything loose in your life tied down. Hallelujah. Let's get right into the Word of God tonight. Praise the Lord. So good to be here at Elko again. And Brother Green's talking about the new kid on the block. I've known Brother Green for many years. You're fortunate to have him up in this area. He'll help you here in this camp meeting simply because he has had a lot of experience in camp meetings. And he'll help you in many other ways as well. If you have your Bibles, I wish you'd turn with me to Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel. I'm going to read some scripture there. And then I will be going into the book of 2 Samuel. And while you're turning there, let me say we're happy to see each and every one. I do not have time to call all my friends that are here by name. But when we say we're glad you're here, that means you. Yeah, you just take that personally. Hey, he's glad I'm here. Praise the Lord. And today those ladies were out there frying that fried chicken, that preacher's bird. And I went out and talked to them a little while, and they told me, they said, Brother Rich, if we were home and this hot, we'd just be burning up. But since we're here at the camp meeting working together, it don't seem so bad. Isn't that a wonderful attitude? Especially when you're frying chicken for hungry preachers. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18, verse 31, the writer says, cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore turn yourselves and live ye. Please notice the first phrase of verse 31. Cast away from you all your transgressions. In the book of 2 Samuel, if you'll turn with us there. Second Samuel chapter 20. Bible says, and there happened to be, this is verse 1, and there happened to be there a man of Belial, whose name was Sheba, the son of Bichri, a Benjamite. And he blew a trumpet and said, we have no part in David, neither have we an inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tent, so Israel. So every man of Israel went up from after David and followed Sheba, the son of Bichri. But the men of Judah clave unto their king from Jordan, even to Jerusalem. Verse 6. And David said to Abishai, now shall Sheba, the son of Bichri, do us more harm than did Absalom. Take thou thy Lord's servants and pursue after him, lest he get him fenced cities and escape us. And there went out after him Joab's men, just the Cherethites and the Pelethites and all the mighty men. And they went out of Jerusalem to pursue after Sheba, the son of Bichri. Verse 13, and when he was removed out off the highway, all the people went on after Joab to pursue after Sheba, the son of Bichri. And he went through all the tribes of Israel unto Abel and to Beth-Machah and all the Berites. And they were gathered together and went also after him. And they came and besieged him in Abel of Beth-Machah. And they cast up a bank against the city. And it stood in a trench. And all the people that were with Joab battered the wall to throw it down. Then cried a wise woman out of the city, hear, hear, say I pray you unto Joab, come near hither that I may speak with thee. And when he was come near unto her, the woman said, art thou Joab? And he answered, I am he. Then she said unto him, hear the words of thine handmaiden. And he answered, I do hear. Then she spake, saying, they were wont to speak in old times, saying, they shall surely ask counsel at Abel. And so they ended the matter. And I am one of them that are peaceable and faithful in Israel. Thou seekest to destroy a city and a mother in Israel. Why wilt thou swallow up the inheritance of the Lord? And Joab answered and said, Far be it from me that I should swallow up or destroy. The matter is not so, but a man of Mount Ephraim, Sheba, the son of Bichri by name, hath lifted up his hand against the king, even against David. Deliver him only, and I will depart from the city. And the woman said unto Joab, behold, his head shall be thrown to thee over the wall. Then the woman went into all the people in her wisdom, and they cut off the head of Sheba the son of Bichri, and cast it out to Joab, and he blew a trumpet, and they retired from the city, every man to his tent. And Joab returned to Jerusalem unto the king. I know that's a lot of reading, but when I get through preaching, you'll understand why I read all these scriptures. In our text tonight, previous to this, David had just regained the kingdom back from his own son Absalom, who through conspiracy had tried to take his father's kingdom. But now David has secured his kingdom once again, and he feels that everything in his kingdom is secure. And no sooner does he get back into the kingdom until another man by the name of Sheba, the son of Bichri, rises up against David and calls men after him, saying, "We have no part with David nor the son of Jesse." And he began to take men after him. He was seeking the position of King David, who was the designated power and the appointed leader by God Almighty. Stay with me now. And so Joab and his men begin to follow after Sheba to overcome him and to take his life. As they went after him, he fled into a city called Abel. And there they gave him asylum inside the city of Abel. And whenever Joab came to that city and he found out that Sheba was inside the walls of that city, he dug a trench around the city, and his men with battering rams began to batter the walls of Abel to bring it down. They were going after this traitor. They were going after this man who was trying to take a position that did not rightfully belong to him. As they battered the walls of Abel, there came a wise woman out, and she cried as she over the wall of the city and said, "Hear me, Joab, hear me. Come near hither that I may speak to thee." And Joab came close to the wall, and she said, "Art thou Joab?" He said, "I am he." And she said, "I am one that is peaceable and faithful in Israel. And thou seekest to destroy a city and a mother of Israel. Why wilt thou swallow up the inheritance of the Lord?" And Joab answered, "Far be it from me that I should swallow up or destroy. The matter is not so." In other words, Joab said, "I have no quarrel with this city. I have no quarrel with the mothers of Israel. That's not why we're battering the walls. But lurking inside your city is a traitor, and I'm after his head. If you'll throw his head over the wall, I'll call off the men, my mighty men, and we'll leave here." And this wise woman without hesitation said, "Behold, the head of Sheba shall be thrown over the wall." So I want to preach tonight, it's time to throw Sheba's head over the wall. You're going to help me while I preach, aren't you? It's time to throw Sheba's head over the wall. Even though Joab had no quarrel against the city, the only way the city could be spared was to throw Sheba's head over the wall. And his men kept battering the walls. They were going to bring the walls down. Hear what I tell you tonight. Every man's breast And every woman's breast is a city enclosed. And every sin that might be lurking inside your heart is a traitor. Oh, you say, that old-fashioned preacher, he don't like me. He's always preaching against my sin. He's always making me feel uncomfortable. Oh, sinner, hear me tonight. I have no quarrel with you. And God has no quarrel with you as an individual. We're not trying to destroy you. It's just the fact that inside your soul, there is a traitor lurking. Amen. Someone who does not belong there. And we're asking for his head. You say, that old-fashioned preacher, he always makes me feel bad. He always makes me feel uncomfortable. He goes to preaching against the things I'm doing, and I don't feel right. Well, just like Joab's men, us old-fashioned preachers, we keep battering your wall. We keep preaching under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We keep calling your sins by name. It's not that we don't love you. Amen. It's just that we know if the sin is allowed to stay inside your soul, it will destroy you in the end, and you'll end up in hell. Hear me, old sinner. Take Sheba's head tonight and throw it over the wall that you may live. Well, I'm beginning to feel like preaching now, so stay with me. Listen to me. The preacher's not against you. He's for you. He loves you. That's why he's calling for Sheba's head. Joab did not want Abel to feel comfortable. He wanted them to feel uncomfortable as long as they were harboring a traitor that was trying to take a kingdom that did not belong to him. And God said, all souls are mine, the soul of the Father and the soul of the Son. Hey, the reason I call your sins by name, the reason sometimes I impersonate, it's not that I don't love you, but I know what sin will do. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, love is a strange thing. It works in different ways. I remember when I was a small boy, I disobeyed my mother, and she'd send me after a switch. Now, I'd go out, and you better not get too small a one, or she'd go after it. And you'd have wished you'd have got a good size one. And I'd come in, she'd get right in front of me, her fingers would start going down that switch. She'd say, now, son, you look at me while I'm talking to you. Well, that was hard to do. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? You didn't say, yeah. You had to say, yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. And you were really in trouble if you looked off. She'd say, son, is there something going on out there more important than your mother talking to you? No, ma'am. All this time, she's running her fingers down that switch. Now, you look at me while I'm talking to you. Okay, yes, ma'am. You understand, son? Yes, ma'am. She said, now, son, here's something you've got to understand. I'm doing this because I'm doing this because I love you. And here in my mind, I'm thinking, now, mama, if you really love me, instead of giving me a whipping, you'd give me a cookie or a biscuit with some jelly and butter in it or some ice cream. And here you're telling me I'm doing this because I love you. Then she'd say something that really blew my little mind. She'd say, "You have to understand, son, that this is hurting me worse than it's hurting you." And it blew my mind. But 25 years later, when some of my friends were in the penal institution, when some were hooked on alcohol and dope, amen, when some had been married and divorced and remarried and divorced, and I was in the pulpit preaching the Word of God, I realized my mother really loved me. And when you hear and feel the battering of conviction as the old-fashioned preacher gets close to and begins to batter the walls of your heart, you've got to realize he's doing it because he loves you. So Joab's men kept battering the wall. All of a sudden, coming over that wall, was the head of Sheba. And when the head of Sheba came over that wall, Joab blew the trumpet, and he and his men retired and went back to their tents. Please understand, had the people of Abel loved Sheba more than their city, had they loved Sheba more than their own lives, they would have justly perished. And if we love the traitor of sin above the life of our souls, we too shall perish. Oh, sinner, throw the traitor's head over the wall. Hallelujah. God is saying, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Oh, is there not a wise woman here tonight that can speak in wisdom to the younger women concerning the pride of this day? Oh, yes, now we have preachers who preach against us preachers who preach against sin. Oh, yeah, we become their own, one of their main targets. Boy, you guys are sure being quiet tonight. Might well help me. I'm going to preach some holiness to you tonight. Hallelujah. I said we have preachers that preach against us preachers that preach against sin. But listen to me. David said in one of the Psalms, I've got it written down, I won't take time to look up where it's at, but he said, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And every one of us is a doorkeeper at the house of the Lord. But somebody at the gate, open the gate and let this traitor come inside. And every sin, every compromising spirit that's in the church in 1997, somebody open the door and let it in. Say, well, worldliness is really coming in. It's because somebody has opened the door and let the traitor inside. Help me while I preach. Oh, yes. I walk into these churches and I see some's got pink eyes, some got blue eyes, some got red eyes, some got purple eyes, some got black eyes, some got spider web eyes. Look like a spider's about ready to jump out any minute out of that web that's around their eyelashes. Some's got on pants. Some of the ladies wearing them so tight, they look like bullfighters out of old Mexico. Some have got on their earrings and their finger rings and their necklaces. Oh, yes. And they talk about how spiritual they are. But listen, as the old-fashioned preacher batters against your wall tonight, I love you. I'm not against you. But I'm calling for Sheba's head to be thrown over the wall tonight. Oh, why don't y'all loosen up and help me preach a little bit? Amen. Our churches are filling up with adultery and fornication and sins of the flesh. Amen. The reason is somebody has opened the door and let them come in. Who was it that opened the gate and let Sheba inside the city? Every enemy of the church that's in the church in 1997 is here because somebody has opened the door. Some of you that were shouting last night, not shouting much tonight, but I look out and I see a lot of clipping and snipping and flipping. Go ahead and look at me. I'm looking at you too. Oh, yes. Somebody is letting this spirit inside our churches. But God, when He sent Joab's men, when David sent Joab's men and Joab down to the city of Abel, and they began to besiege the city and batter the wall, they were not against the mothers in Israel. They were not against the inhabitants of Abel. It was that traitor that was inside the walls of the city. And you may not have to listen to this old white-headed preacher much longer, but while I'm still able, I'm going to keep on battering your walls. I'm going to keep on telling you the soul that sinneth, it shall die. I'm going to keep on telling you, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father, it's not in him. I'm going to keep on preaching. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Oh, I know this kind of preaching. You don't hear much of it anymore. That's why we got so many Shebas lurking inside the church. Hallelujah. Now, I've been preaching here for many years. Everybody knew I was a holiness preacher before I ever come to the platform tonight. So don't be surprised when I start battering your wall. You see, different groups and denominations over the years, they have met in their conferences. And they have voted whether to allow Sheba to remain or throw his head over the wall. I was saved in Assembly of God Church. It was straight-laced. If you think I'm preaching straight, you should have heard my old-fashioned preacher preach. Boy, he had such deep theology. Brother, you talk about theology. He had deep, deep theology. So deep that it got into my heart. And nearly every one of his messages, he put it in there somewhere. Here it is. If you're saved, you ain't sinning. And if you're sinning, you ain't saved. You can't get no deeper than that. Hallelujah. What he's saying, if there's been a transformation, if you've thrown Sheba's head over the wall, you quit the sin business, and you're serving the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The modernistic preachers with their big charismatic churches, they're letting them keep Sheba's head. Oh, yes. With their new crosses. Amen. With their new line of charisma, they're deceiving the people. But there's still a few of us old Joabs around. Amen. They're still fighting the enemy and battering the walls of compromise. Don't tell me that you're a holiness preacher if you'll say amen to this kind of preaching at the camp meeting and then go home and open your doors and give asylum to these same spirits in your own home church. Come on, preacher man, preach. Woo! The Assemblies of God, they begin to vote down the convictions. And then the Church of God, who used to not even allow a wedding band. Oh, yes. Assembly of God never did preach against wedding bands, but they preached against excessive jewelry. But the Church of God, we got some Church of God sisters here. Amen. They used to preach against wedding bands. But then they decided to let Sheba come in. And Sheba polluted. Brother Cobb knows I'm telling it right. And Sheba polluted the entire populace of Abel. And now they've got rings held by every finger. Amen. They've got makeup and short hair on the women, long hair on the men. Come on now. Amen. They've got all of these things. Why? Because somebody opened the door. But the old-fashioned preacher, Brother Donrich, only has one vote. But I'm casting my vote against Sheba. I say throw his head over the wall. Let it go down on my record. If it's the last time I ever preach Elko, that Brother Don Rich was against sin and the world. You see, God is willing to reverse His judgment, to call off sin's penalty, but only when Sheba's head has been thrown over the wall. Now please notice, not just any head, but it had to be Sheba's head. And when Sheba's head was thrown over the wall, it was a witness on the outside of Abel that inside the city, the flesh, the trunk of Sheba was dead. Do you understand it? I said it was a witness that the flesh was dead. And as soon as the head came over the wall, Joab blew the trumpet and they began to retreat. And Abel had peace once again. I'm here to tell you, sinner, backslider, compromising Christian, you'll never have peace as long as you try to hold on to Sheba. Oh, I know what some would have tried to do. They would have tried to make a league with Joab. Stayed faithful to King David right down to the end. Hear me tonight. Cast away from you all your transgressions where ye have transgressed. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? Preachers that have fallen love their sins more than they did their ministry. Amen. Preachers that have fallen love their sins more than they love the church. Preachers that have fallen have loved their sins more than they love their own souls. Oh, hear me. Amen. God no longer winks at ignorance, but He commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And there is no substitute for Sheba's head. It must be identified. Amen. This is the culprit. This is the traitor. This is the thing that was destroying our city. There is no peaceful coexistence with sin or the world. If you're going to be a friend to the world, you are an enemy to God. Boy, I like this kind of preaching. Last night y'all were shouting, but I like this kind right here. Woo, I'm about ready to shout myself. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know why? This is the kind that brought me out. This is the kind that kept me saved. Oh, yes, I had some Shebas too. Yes, sir. But oh, the day I threw the last head over the wall, I had peace that passeth all understanding. We cannot afford to let any more Shebas come in. We need to destroy the things that are in our churches that are not right and seal off the doors of Zion to the world. Oh, I'm not saying not accept the sinner, but I'm talking about accepting them in positions in the church and using them in the church. Oh, hallelujah. Boy, it's getting quieter and quieter and quieter. But I'm talking about holy living. I'm talking about separation. I'm talking about being a true child of God. I'm talking about something that when you walk down the street, the world will know there's a difference in you and the world. The only proof that Sheba was dead was his head. Oh, yes, some think when they feel the Spirit of the Lord, amen, that God's wanting them to shout. Don't you know that God sometimes is dealing with you to throw Sheba's head over the wall, and you get in a good spiritual service and you feel the presence of the Lord and you want to get up and jerk and jump and leap? Amen. You can't jump your sins away. You can't leap your sins away. You can't shout your sins away. You've got to throw them over the wall in repentance and come to the fountain that's filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins and have your sins washed away. I was preaching a few years ago where I do missionary work in the San Blas Islands, other parts of Panama. And one night, we were preaching on this island, and there was not room in this little thatched hut building to hold the people. So we was preaching out underneath the stars. That's a good place to preach. Maybe don't have to ever worry about the roof falling in on you. Hallelujah. And was preaching away and enjoying preaching the Word of God. And as I preached the Word of God, and as I tried to get the attention of the people more because of a lot of frustrations, you know, among those people not being affiliated with the church and coming out of darkness, here come, where's the, a box of Kleenex or something? Hallelujah. I need something here. I don't care what it is. Give me one of them offering pails that's empty. That'll do it. Here come one of them little Kuna Indians walking out there carrying his little idol with him. Carrying his God, little wooden God, bringing it to the service. He stood out real close to the sea. The water was beating against the seashore. I was preaching away. Pretty soon I saw him looking up there at me, directing his attention right at me. So you got to be careful when you direct your attention right at me, because I'll direct my attention right at you. And I saw him looking right at me, and so I zeroed in on him. And I said through my interpreter, "Hey, mister, you out there with your little idol under your arm." Brother Holtzman's been over there. I said, "Out there with your little idol under your arm. Hey, you had to carry your God here tonight. But I don't want a God that I have to carry. I want a God that can carry me." I seen I had his attention. I said, "Your God has ears, but he cannot hear. But my God's ears are open to the cry of the righteous. Your God has eyes, but he cannot see. But my God's eyes go to and fro throughout all the earth, beholding the evil and the good." If your little God that takes little plant little seeds in them for eyes, I said, if your little God loses an eye, you got to go get some kind of glue and glue his eye back in. Oh, who wants that kind of a God? I said, your God has a mouth, but he cannot speak. But my God created this heaven you can see up here and all of these stars. And he'd look at his little old God, and then he'd look at me. I said, your God has hands, but he cannot move them. He has feet, but he cannot walk. And as I began to preach, he kept looking at his God. After a while, the Spirit of the Lord started dealing with him. And I kept preaching to him. Pretty soon he looked at his God and looked over toward the sea. Looked at his God and then looked over toward the sea. Turned back around and looked at at me. I said, go ahead, do what God's telling you to do. He took one last look at his God, looked back to the sea, and took his God and threw it in the ocean. Come and fell at my feet. I asked my interpreter, I said, what does this man want? He said, he's wanting to accept your God. Well, hear me, that man's smarter than some of you that are here tonight. He knew he could not keep his God and have my God. You've got to cast Sheba's head over the world. You've got to get rid of your sin. Cast your transgressions from you. For why will you die? As I close tonight, I'm wondering if there's anyone here. You say, Brother Rich, there's something in my life that I need to get rid of. I feel like I need to turn and throw Sheba's head over the wall. There's only one way to do it. Make up your mind that you're going to completely destroy him. As long as you hold on to anything, you cannot have my God. For my God is so jealous. He said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And he also said, thou shalt not make any graven image to bow down. How about those images sitting over in the corner of your living room that you bow down to? See, all my television's not important. I can walk into your house and see how your furniture's arranged. If you've got a television, and tell you that your television's important. Go ahead and throw it over the wall. Oh, it's getting tighter. I love it when it's like that. I was getting ready to quit, but it's getting tight. I got to loosen it up a little bit more. Oh, hallelujah. While you're throwing, get all of those old videos and all of that old junk that you piled up and throw it out too, and serve the Lord God in the beauty of holiness. Might want to pick up that literature and that pornography you've got slipped under the banner in the closet and get it thrown out too, and let's serve God in the beauty of holiness. Well, it is a holy city. How many knew that? And it's a holy God. How many knew that? And it's a holy Christ. How many knew that? And it's a Holy Ghost, yes. And it's holy angels. And a holy city. And everybody that goes there is going to be holy people. And the only way you can be holy is throw Sheba's head. That's why that boy some time ago, where I was preaching, loaded up all of his old CDs and all of his old worldly cassette music, stopped on the way to church, threw it in the river, made an offering to the river. Amen. Come on to God's house. You got to be willing, young people. You can't come down here in youth camp and sing, oh, how I love Jesus, and then go back out and listen to rock and roll and country and western. Not enough just to feel good one week in youth camp. You got to throw Sheba's head over the wall. I see some of y'all are really enjoying this. And the only way I can tell is the way you're frowning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I love the way you're shouting me down tonight. Praise God. Hey, listen to me. I love you just like my mother said. I love you. See, that's a strange way. God loved the inhabitants of Abel. He loved, amen, the mothers in Israel. He had set David on the throne. And have you ever seen a day when so many things were trying to replace the designated power that God has given? But oh, if you've got rebellion in your heart, throw it over the wall. If you've got jealousy in your heart, throw it over the wall. If you've got backbiting in your heart, throw it over the wall. Some of you couldn't trust 15 minutes. I'd rather trust Colonel Sanders babysitting my chickens as trust you with something confidential. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because you're a gossiper. You're a loose talker. Gotta throw it over the wall. Holy, holy, holy. I said holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty. Throw Sheba's head over. Woo. When you get it thrown over, there will be peace. There was a man come to our altar. Tulare, California. Ever been there? Tulare, California. He came to our altar, one of my altar services, to find the Lord. He prayed a good while, and then he quit. And I thought, oh no, he's going to get up and quit praying before he gets through to victory, because so many does that. But when he got up, he reached over here in one pocket, took out a pack of cigarettes, laid a couple cigars on the altar, and then reached back and got some chewing tobacco and laid it on the altar. Reached in another pocket and took out a set of dice and reached somewhere else and got a deck of cards and put it on the altar. I'm beginning to get happy now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pretty soon, amen, he stood there and looked and looked and looked. And then pretty soon he went into a secret compartment and took out a joint of marijuana and laid it on the altar and looked up at me and said, "Preacher, if I'm going to get in this thing, I'm going to get in it right." Well, let me tell you, that's the only way you can get in it, is to get in it right. Oh, there's no halfway mark. You've got to get in it right. Young people, I'm so glad to hear the reports how you prayed and sought the Lord last week. And Brother Rich loves you. But if there's something in there you didn't get over the wall, I'm battering your walls tonight. You say, "Well, Brother Rich, you know my condition. I'm a backslider." Well, I love you and Jesus loves you and He wants you to come back to the Lord. But you have to throw Sheba's head over. And some of you old-time sisters that one time shouted the praises of God and was full of the Holy Ghost, I can look around and see some of y'all been a bobbing and a clipping and a snipping. And then you wonder about these young girls. Don't you know you're setting a poor example before them? Hallelujah. This was a wise woman in Abel who said, "His head shall be thrown over the wall." Now, I'm used to preaching under pressure, and I do better under pressure than I do when everything's loose. So let me tell you one more time, God is calling for your sin. Amen. He loves you. Young man, He loves you. I've preached to you many a time here, right here at this camp meeting, and God loves you. And I love you, and you know that, because you can feel a love coming from me. But I'm going to tell you the truth. If you die in your condition you're in right now, you're just as sure to go to hell as there is a hell. But if you'll come to Jesus, Jesus loves you. He will accept you. But He asks for unconditional surrender. Would someone come to the piano? Oh, hallelujah. I've enjoyed preaching to you tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody please come to the piano. So quiet around here tonight. Good time to give an altar call. How many of you just be honest? While every head's bowed and no one looking around, you'd lift your hand and say, "Brother Rich, there's something in my life tonight that needs to go over the wall." Would you raise your hand quickly? Put it right back down again. Someone quickly tonight. Yes, I see those hands going up. Are there others you'd lift your hands? Yes, I see that, young man. Are there another one you'd lift your hand? Say, "Preacher man." Yes, I see that one. Are there others you'd say, "Brother Rich, there's some things in my life that need to go over the wall tonight." You'll have deep settled peace once you throw Sheba's head over the wall. Now, I know a good part of you don't believe or don't agree with me. We're not going to fall out. But you don't agree with me on sanctification. I believe in sanctification as a definite work of grace. But as I told you the other night, it doesn't matter to me how you get it as long as you get it. But here's the way I believe sanctification affects you. I believe that you do have temptations even after you're sanctified. But instead of them coming from within, they come from without. Oh, hallelujah. I said they come from without. Praise God. Don't let Sheba hide in your heart. A little grudge will stop you as quick. A little bad feeling toward a brother will stop you just as quick as any other sin. Brother Leon Moser, if I can't tell you I love you and mean it from my heart, I'm letting something stay in there that shouldn't be. Brother Gerald Green, my good friend, if I can't say I love you and mean it from my heart, there's something there that's not right. Isn't it a shame, Brother Perry, when men who claim to be preaching the same gospel and going to the same heaven can't even kneel at the same altar and pray together? Now, that's a shame. That's a shame. I said, that is a shame. Something's got to be thrown over the wall. And I don't want to get over because the Lord's already dealing with me on a message for tomorrow night, so I don't got to stop right here where I'm at right there on that. But I'm telling you, we need one another. But we do not need Sheba. You see, God has nothing against the charismatics. He has nothing against the Assemblies of God, Church of God, Pentecostal Wholeness, Free Holiness, Independence, Full Gospel, Free Pentecost. Even if they've let down the standard, God has nothing against them. God is against Sheba that's inside those churches that's robbing them of the victory. You got to understand that. Amen. That's what God is against. One more hand lifted. Say, preacher man, there's something in my life I need to get thrown over the wall. Yes, I see that hand. I was in a service not too long ago, and a woman openly confessed that she had temper tantrums, that sometimes she threw knives and forks at her husband, glasses of water, and I don't know what all. But she said, Brother Rich, God's dealing with my heart, and I want to change. If you want to change, you can change. They're willing to throw it over the wall. And the very fact she come and confess openly before the entire congregation, let me know she was willing to throw Sheba's head over. I seen her pastor a good while after. He said, Brother Rich, that's one of the most humble, sweet women now I have in my church. Just throw Sheba's head over. Oh, yes, another one. You'd say, Brother Rich. Now, some of you, yes, I see that hand. How about some of you older folks that one time had the blessing in your life and you've let the world ease in and take that blessing away? You'd say, Brother Rich, I want to throw Sheba's head over the wall. I want to come right with God. I want to do what's right. Would you lift that hand quickly right now? Hurriedly, I'm still waiting. We've got plenty of time. Everybody just stay secure for just a moment. It's real early, not just now, 20 after 9. Is there another hand be lifted? Say, Brother Rich, there's something in my life I want to get rid of tonight. Would you lift your hand quickly? Another one? Several hands have already been lifted. But I feel like God's still talking to somebody. If you want the fullness of the blessing, some of you preachers want to know why your ministry never has reached out, why you never have been able to reach that position and that sphere that God wants you in. It's because somewhere in your life, you're letting Sheba lurk. You'll never be a successful minister until you get rid of everything in your life that's unpleasing to God. One more hand. Anywhere in this congregation, one more hand. This young lady that was praying tonight and earlier, we were glad to see you praying. Are you ready to throw Sheba's head over the wall? If you are, we're opening this altar now. Now, I want those that lifted your hands as our sister plays to come right now. In the name of Jesus, make your way down to this altar. Those that lifted your hands, come on. Right now, they're coming. Thank the Lord for these young people and old, some older people that's coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You say, Brother Rich, holiness preachers won't work. It's the only kind that will work. It's the only kind that will do the job. Hallelujah. There's others that lifted your hands. Come on down. Get the victory tonight.